Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 13th of January. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll tell you how you can get in on the fun. We welcome Dr. Alan Chartok to the proceedings. Good morning, Alan.
You may call me Alan. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And I will, I'm sure, throughout the morning call you Alan, but... Times Union Associate Editor. I wanted to, you know...
But it is interesting, isn't it?
Dr. Alan, I like
that. Yeah, but it is interesting that no matter how long you've had it, and I've had mine a long time, it never really goes away. You don't have to recertify.
A PhD.
What? Yeah. Your name?
No, doctor.
Oh, the doctor.
Meaning, if you cut hair, you have to go get a certification
this is
every...
This true.
And I think medical guys have to do it now.
Well, you have to do continuing ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
We'll continue. We'll count on this being continuing ed.
Yeah.
This will count as continuing ed. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. And political consultant Libby Post is here. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
let me tell you how you can get to be a part of our conversation. All you have to do is write to us, roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. Also, you can go to wamc.org/roundtable, and there is a link to today's panel, which has the date, which is 1/13/15, and you can just click on that, and you can comment, and we would love to see it. We all get to see it. Also, roundtable@wamc.org. Let's go to the stories of the day. We'll begin with Paris. We talked about the story yesterday, and so the White House commented on this and admitted a faux pas in not sending a higher level presence to the very, very large protest, march of solidarity in Paris over the terrorist attacks in Paris last week. And so asked at a press conference, the statement was made that perhaps administration officials said that they understood the criticism and there were some security concerns, but we should have sent a higher profile official to the Paris march.
There is something very disarming, isn't there, about an apology?
Absolutely.
What does anybody say after that?
Right, you can't.
You know, they're getting beaten up all over the place by cheap shot columnists and others. And, you know, the New York POST and the usual suspects. And you say, no, we blew it. We should have done it. I wasn't involved in the decision. Basically, they said that. The PR guy said that. But we should have sent somebody higher profile, which means translated?
POTUS.
No.
Or V. POTUS.
POTUS meaning?
The President of the United States.
No. V. POTUS.
Right. V. POTUS.
V. POTUS.
Joe.
That's who it would have been.
Right.
Well, and I think a lot of the criticism from what I have read certainly the President or the Vice President, but you had Eric Holder pretty much in the building.
Right.
That was the other thing.
It would have been good to have him on the front line for that photo op.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it gets to something that I find fascinating. David Axelrod, who was Cuomo's chief of staff for the first term and his political advisor.
Obama.
Oh, what did I say? Cuomo?
Cuomo.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The reason I say that is because Cuomo had his own David Axelrod
many years ago,
the health commissioner, and maybe the best public servant who ever lived in New York State.
I agree with you. Dr. David Axelrod, the late state health commissioner, was phenomenal. I'm talking about David Axelrod for President Obama's political advisor, said recently President Obama doesn't value the theatrics of the office. He doesn't want to seize the photo op. He's not really into that. He's more of a wonk wanting to just, you know, get to the business of the people. And perhaps they underestimated the value of that image of all the international leaders standing together, lock arm in arm, to kind of stand in solidarity against what happened in Paris. And he wasn't part of it. And that's lost. It's a lost opportunity.
Mike, although, as Libby said yesterday, I believe, profoundly so, and if he had gone and he had been locked arm in arm with them, would the POST, have said this is a good thing, or would they have found a reason for it being a bad thing?
Right. They would have said, oh, he's
stealing the show.
Right, right. Or he's standing next to somebody who he shouldn't be standing next to.
Cece or somebody from Egypt.
You know, I mean, it's like, and then... it was a mistake.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, though. You send the president, you send the vice president, you send the secretary of state.
Yeah. I mean, the other part of this is that the security issues are tremendous.
But they're tremendous for all of those individuals.
Yeah, I know. And then they
always
manage...
Think about that one.
Yeah,
who?
For Netanyahu.
Yes. I mean, the event itself is a security nightmare. Yeah. So, but all this would do is add security to it and make it more secure. I don't know that that's an argument.
Yeah, maybe I'm the only one in the world who thinks this kerfuffle maybe more than it deserves. In other words, this is one of those news things that somehow gets legs of its own and sort of takes off.
And honestly,
I'm sort of standing around saying, so what? You know,
agreed with you up until I agree with you and had the exact same opinion until the White House. As you said, it's nice to have an apology, but by giving it some validity and saying, yeah, we screwed up, then you're sort of making it more of a kerfuffle.
You're right, Joe, and I took it personally because I had put my own keister out on the line defending the president. Now he apologizes. What does he leave me? And the wind is blowing.
Right. You know, it's just it, the wind is blowing. So, right. So, look, it was a mistake. It's not the end of his presidency. You know, there'll be more opportunities to stand with world leaders. I mean, this was a PR opportunity more than anything else.
Well,
it was a missed opportunity.
You say that as if that's pejorative. It was an opportunity to capitalize on our relationship with our allies and stand up against terrorism.
Well, I think it was a mistake not going. I do. You know, but I'm not going to say this is what defines his entire administration, and that's what or his entire approach to security, that we've got our heads up our butts and we're not doing anything, you know, we're being isolationists, we're not anything but. So, you know.
Well, John Kerry is going to go.
Right.
I guess he did address remotely, you know, by television and satellite, et cetera, the people of France, and he speaks fluent French, and that says a lot to that nationality.
Yeah.
I think when the foreign diplomat can speak your language literally, figuratively, like he can, and that'll help when he does go there.
And they're also saying that the summit that they called on Saturday before the march, having a counterterrorism summit next month aimed at curbing extremism in the wake of the Paris attacks is also a step that they had taken and trying to show unity. So there is that as well. But I believe even in the press conference yesterday, the press secretary made that comment that they wish as much was made about that than this. But there you go.
You know, we're getting a lot of mail, not now, but in general, about, you know, the United States participation in this. And it is interesting how people follow the lead on a press issue like this, that when that becomes the established talking points, people will talk to the point.
Well, I learned a long time ago from a very smart political observer who said that when it's an easy thing for people to understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this.
Which is
pretty,
why nobody cares about state government.
Like this is pretty. This is pretty easy to get. You know, like you have a horrible thing happen.
That's exactly right.
You bring the world together, and we're not there at the party.
Right.
That's it. That's right. And it's not the end of the world, as Libby says.
Right.
But it's a missed opportunity.
But I remember after 9/11, the headlines on Le Monde were "Je suis Américain." I mean, you know, the whole world stood up with us.
Sure.
After 9/11, and it was a mixed opportunity for us. And you know, I think. But I, you know, we need to move on.
But I do love the fact that Obama just said, "We're sorry."
Yeah. Well, I think
sometimes you
apologizing
say
can be an incredibly powerful tool. Also, asking for forgiveness is an incredibly powerful tool because you're putting it out there. Now it's up to the country to forgive.
Well, and this
and recognize an apology.
It'll move off the front pages very quickly.
Right.
And
which
then,
is the idea.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is the idea. I mean, how many times have we gotten into a situation where, you know, we think we're right, somebody makes a compelling case, it rips your heart out, and you write a one-word apology to them. Sorry. The other day, I mean, I shouldn't do this because it'll just exacerbate it, but we got a letter saying that we should put lithium, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Into the water supply for Paris. And then we could, everybody would be out of it, and we could just go in there and easily take them out. Well, I got a letter from the person who wrote it saying that, of course, we never read names, so it doesn't much matter, that, but that you know, we had offended the letter writer by, you know, laughing about the idea. I wrote a one-word letter back. Sorry. I mean, yeah.
Well, they weren't serious, were they?
Yes.
They were absolutely serious.
Yeah, they were serious. Yeah. But it was, but it's, you know, it's a point, and we
sorry.
Want to hear that.
You know, like, they don't want us to put fluoride in the water to protect
all right,
our teeth. All right. Put a little lithium. Okay, fine.
All right, let's take a break. We'll clear the water supply, and we'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Emma Willard, an all-girl boarding school working to help students discover their own voices. Accepting applications until February 1st, emmawillard.org. And Amherst Railway Society's annual Railroad Hobby Show, Eastern States Fairgrounds, West Springfield, January 24th and 25th, featuring real-life and scale model railroads from coffee table layouts to 80-foot systems. RailroadHobbyShow.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, and we are going to talk about other issues. But I, just in the few minutes before we go over to BBC News, I want to talk a little bit more about what is going on in France. There's the lead article in the New York Times this morning. The attacks in France have given new urgency to American and European efforts to prevent their citizens from going to Muslim countries to fight and possibly becoming threats back home. So the West struggling to halt rising flow of citizens to war zones. And this seems to me that much more than the first issue that we talked about, something that is a real consequence and concern. Yes?
Yeah. And if you think about it for a second, this idea that we have to react, and we do, to this, raises these very tough security concerns, and there will be people who take advantage, and Joe McCarthy-like, and it will become terrible. Who was the most important president of the United States ever? Probably Franklin Delano Roosevelt, right? And there were the Japanese who were put into these camps. It was disgraceful. We all know it was disgraceful. But at the time, they did what they thought was right, and I suspect that's coming here too, and that offers a series of real problematic issues.
Well, do you think we're going to have internment camps here?
No.
No, but the overreaction and the discrimination,
yes,
against people,
yes,
and people will use it to mm-hmm, fear, essentially.
Well, I've been mentioning Joe McCarthy the last couple of days. We look back on it, and people hardly remember it. But people were committing suicide and losing their jobs in the public schools and everything else because somebody pointed a finger at them or might have pointed a finger at them. I remember my mom, a communist in the 50s, my mother was not a communist. She was a liberal, and the communists hated her. But there was a...
So moderate.
What'd you say?
Yeah. She was so moderate.
Yeah, well, she was... Well, in any case, somebody wrote a book, a former communist wrote a book naming names. And one of those names was my mother's friend, who called up frantically, really wondering whether this, and she was a college professor, whether this was the end of her career, because it wasn't true, in fact, anything but just all that had to happen is somebody pointed a finger.
Mm-hmm. Well, what troubles me about this is that it you know, you look at this, you look at that incident in New Zealand where the guy took a coffee shop, under his control, you know, and had to be shot. And I mean, it demonstrates what a few people who are fanatical can do to wreak terror. If that's a trend, it's a very frightening and terrible trend.
And some of these people, Mike, are kids. That's what's very impressionable,
easily
young, adolescent kids who are it's one thing if you drive a car into a fire hydrant, but this is really terrible.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with many other issues to discuss. We invite your input as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We will continue our conversation. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We will be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel and our discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and Libby Post making up the panel this morning. We welcome your input as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable. Alan, got a sampling of the letters this morning.
Sampling, because we got a lot of letters and we can't do them all. But Rich says, Truman should never have been president. Had Henry Wallace stayed on as vice president to FDR, the CIA would not have been created. And Joe McCarthy would have been just a regular senator. FDR gave in to Southern conservative Democrats. Is this taught in schools? And we have heard that from John, Pete Seeger was a communist. I doubt seriously he and many who agreed with him on sociopolitics at the time hated your mother. Prudence and moderation, Dr. Chartok. And Ken says, I agree that all nations should join together against terrorism such as occurred in France, but to vilify the president for not appearing for an international photo op is off base. I, for one, remember that 9/11, after 9/11, that France was not exactly Johnny on the spot when we went to the Middle East to avenge our losses. Remember Freedom Fries? And Anna says, what makes one massacre more newsworthy than another? Why are we ignoring the Boko Haram attack? More than 2,000 Nigerians die, and it doesn't even make the news disgraceful. And that's from Anna. Stu says, it's frightening to think that French Jews now face the same dilemmas that Polish, German, Russian, and other European Jews faced in the 1930s. Do I stay or go? Do I leave voluntarily now? Or do I leave in a freight car at some later time? And that's from Stu. And Denise says, I don't agree that the president had to go to Paris. The same people at the POST who have been screaming about the importance of our ambassadors in their Benghazi rants suddenly say, oh, our ambassadors being there was unimportant since ambassadors are insignificant. Steve says, no, Steve doesn't say that either. Eileen says, Eileen says, how the PR machine continues to fail Obama is mind-boggling. With all the staff and level of advisors, it seems shocking that no one said we have to be there. The fact that Obama apologized is notable and admirable. However, what a missed opportunity on the international stage. Will there be some changes to that advisory staff? And Peter says, folks, it isn't our problem that too many of our elected officials genuflect to polls in lieu of following their own inner core values, assuming they even have an inner core? And then from our wonderful Steve Gottlieb, oops, in what other countries do world leaders march with arms linked against terrorism? So does this lead anywhere? And it's on and on. So there's so many, but those are just a sampling.
A sampling of the letters. I do have to say that one that struck me, and I have to think this during this conversation, which I meant to bring up earlier, is that I did feel a little sorry for the U.S. ambassador to France. Am I that insignificant?
Yeah, right.
Right.
And his name is?
Not this, what? You know, right. What was my job supposed to be? Of course I'm supposed to do this.
No, but I was thinking about Caroline Kennedy. If she's still our ambassador to Japan. If she had been there, that would have been something.
Right. Right. You know, the thing is that the one letter who talked about Boko Haram and killing 2,000 people We also had an incident of domestic terrorism here where the NAACP headquarters in Colorado Springs, Colorado was firebombed. And that was totally lost in all of this. And, you know, we need to be cognizant that there are other things going on and that there is domestic terrorism here and there are incidences going on all the time. And that's a story in itself that we, you know, we didn't talk about.
Nobody was injured in that.
No, but it sends a message.
I agree with you, but you have to have a measured response. I don't know that, you know, the media is many, many, many thousands of people making their individual decisions. But when you decide to play something up, I mean, that feeds right into the hands of somebody who wants that.
You make a very good point, Mike. Really. I know that there are media outlets that just won't report threatened school bombings. Where schools are because all it does is it begs for replication and the
copycats,
wackos
who want to just get a little publicity.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but the fact of the matter, this was an event. It did happen. Yes, nobody was killed, thankfully.
Well, you do know about it.
It does send a message. I know about it because it was all over Facebook. Because of all my liberal friends posting things on Facebook.
I also know about it from the conventional news media. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's so interesting because inevitably we hear from people who say, "How come this has never been covered?" And we always
How do you know about it?
Oh well, it wasn't a big enough.
And
article.
If it's on Facebook, usually it's a link to an established news.
Yes,
source.
In Colorado.
Libby's point about Boko Haram, I think that there was, I've heard that story covered extensively. Obviously, we've talked about it, but I've heard it on NPR. I've heard it extensively on the BBC. I do understand the point. I certainly understand the point of the letter writer, because yes, does that deserve to be on the front page of the newspaper? Yes. Does that deserve to be discussed? In my opinion, yes. But if the fact that it isn't mentioned or it isn't covered, I don't think that is a fair assessment because in fact, the BBC had an incredible report.
Yeah, that's a really strong reason to continue to use the BBC as an option, as a news source here.
Well, there's definitely a difference in what the BBC and the European press covers.
The world view.
There's no question, because I listen every morning because I'm in the car at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I learn all kinds of stuff I wouldn't know otherwise from the American press. That's exactly right.
Well, this is what I learned yesterday from, or this morning rather, just from picking up the Times Union. Paul Ryan, not running for president.
Growing a beard.
George Pataki,
walking
down the streets of Concord, New Hampshire.
Without a coat on.
With the snowflakes coming down.
His advisors probably said, George, don't wear a coat. You'll be a man of the people.
Right. He's virile. And strapping.
Yeah. And he looks happy.
And at 70 can take the cold.
He looks happy. He looks ready to take on the New England winter and to meet the people of New Hampshire that hold the earliest primary in our electoral contest.
Right. Well, what is really going on? I mean, either he's certifiable because there's no way in world he can.
Well, there is that.
He can be president, or he's, as I think I said earlier today, he's running for vice president.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Because if it is somebody from the Southwest, like, Rick Perry, or if it's somebody from the middle of the country, maybe a Northeast, I think Governor Pataki always portrayed himself as a Rockefeller Republican, and that has a lot of appeal,
Well, let's assume for a second that Hillary's going to be the candidate, which I am. Then the Republicans may pick George to block.
Hmm.
George
to do the block. Yes, on behalf of the nominee.
To block. Yes.
Hollywood Squares.
Yes, George to block.
Yes. Right. I'm curious. So what was the meeting like to put the picture in without an extensive article, but just a picture in the right under the masthead of the newspaper?
Well, when we were at the news meeting and we viewed that photo of former Governor Pataki walking down the streets of New Hampshire, we said, that we all reacted the way that you just reacted. And we said, well, why don't we give that to the public and let them have that same reaction? What's George Pataki doing on the streets of New Hampshire at this time?
Maybe somebody put lithium in the water. I don't know.
Oh, geez. So the other thing, and Alan, I don't know that we obviously have numbers, but obviously, Pataki's been planning a presidential run for a long time.
Indeed,
there was a war chest. Is that still an active war chest? Do we know?
I'm assuming it is. I don't know. I don't have information, but I don't think it goes away. You're able to keep it and use it.
That's correct. You can keep it. You don't have to. I think a judge has to get rid of his within a year after his election.
Is that right?
In New York,
that makes sense.
But other politicians just keep these funds going. They can aim them at political causes that they support or candidates that they support.
I remember when he was governor and was putting out the book and so forth, that there was some pretty good money being generated. Now, obviously, in the cost of today's campaigns.
He had a book?
Well, he put out a book very similar to the Cuomo book, which was a...
Not well received.
Which was sort of a, hey, I'm here, maybe I'll run for president.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to see a comparative study done, and I'm sure there's a good political scientist out there who'll do this for us, about the numbers of books that George Pataki sold when he did his and Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo's book is not going well. So, but
I do remember being at a meeting in Texas of newspaper editors, and that was when there was buzz, so it must have been back in 99, about George Bush running, and Bill Powers was actually the GOP chairman for New York State, and he was speaking to this group in Texas, and he was talking about the other George, and people were asking questions about it. And he was, at that point, he was a very popular governor who had a very high profile, and, anything can happen.
Yeah.
That was 15 years ago.
He's been out of the headlines,
he
Joe.
He has been, and nobody, he hasn't done anything to keep himself high
Since
profile.
Since 2006, he's been out of the headlines,
but today he's on the front page of the Times Union. So
it's the Albany paper, and he's a present. You know,
absolutely.
He was a presence in Albany and has a legacy here for sure.
He did not make a lot of headlines. The only one I really remember is when he was, there were two. One was when his car got hit by a frozen chicken truck.
It was turkeys, Alan.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Frozen turkey.
Poultry of some kind.
Yeah.
SARS of poultry in
there were thighs and legs all over the place. Nothing really bad happened. And then the second is when Andrew announced that the only thing Pataki did was to hold the coat.
Yeah, right? that was the mayor.
Right.
That was not Andrew Cuomo's finest moment when he was seeking the Democratic nomination for governor, and he accused Pataki of simply holding the coat for Mayor Giuliani during 9/11.
Right.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back.
Support comes from Capital Counseling, mental health therapy for adults, teens, children, and couples in both private and group settings. Your lifeline to better mental health, capitalcounseling.org. And Tierra Farm Retail Stores, Madison Avenue, Albany, and Route 203, Valencia, New York. Organic nuts, dried fruit, fair trade coffee, chocolate, granola, nut butters, and gift baskets. TierraFarm.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan, do you want to get to a letter or two, and then we'll move on to our final blitz of things to talk about?
Well, I'll be delighted to do whatever you want me to, Joe. Lorna says, Al Jazeera America covers international stories very well, and they have correspondents all over the world reacting to Mike and BBC, another media outlet. Irene says, today appears a story about officials talking about how Newburgh should be reconsidered for a casino. Newburgh's problems did not just occur. The fight for jobs and the fight against crime can be done with the governor and others leading the way. All right. Okay. Then Rick says, Alan, do you remember the flap back in 1964? To me, that was yesterday. Maybe not to the rest of you, but yesterday. Flap back in 1964 when Lyndon Johnson did not go to Winston Churchill's funeral because of security concerns. Now, that's interesting in that Lyndon Johnson had been preceded by JFK, mm-hmm. who had been assassinated, you know. So
and De Gaulle came to his funeral.
JFK's funeral. Right.
Reagan didn't go to Anwar Sadat's funeral either. But
did he go to Yitzhak Rabin's?
I don't think he did either. Well.
Okay, so that's enough for now.
Okay.
The audience will correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And they always do. They're very smart, and they're very involved, and I love that.
I want to talk about, I've been fascinated by this case since the very beginning. We've had this gentleman on the program. I find it really interesting. It's James Risen, a New York Times reporter, who will not be called to testify in a leaked trial scheduled to begin this week, lawyers said on Monday. The story came down about 6:30, 7 o'clock last night, ending a 7-year legal fight over whether he could be forced to identify his confidential sources. The Justice Department wanted Mr. Risen to testify at the trial of Jeffrey Sterling, a former CIA officer charged with providing him details about a botched operation in Iran and was intended to disrupt that country's nuclear program. Mr. Sterling had raised concerns inside the government about the program, and prosecutors suspect that he took those concerns to Mr. Risen, who described the program in his 2006 book, State of War. Mr. Risen, a 2-time Pulitzer Prize winner, was the highest-profile journalist drawn into the Obama administration's attempt to crack down on government officials who talked to reporters about national security.
Every time we talked about it, it seemed awfully stupid to us that they were doing this. Counterproductive. You get a president who comes in riding on what we thought was a sort of progressive, at least I thought, progressive liberal, ticket and ending up, doing something that looked very reactionary. And I think that they put their heads together and said, this is really dumb. Why are we doing this? And decided not to do it anymore.
But last Monday, he went on the stand. He said very, very little. And I think at some point you realize that you've been had, right? You're not going to get what you want out of this guy. So, and it's hurting you more than it's helping you, right?
Threats aren't working.
You know, the press isn't always regarded that well in America. And when citizens are expected to testify to what they saw when a crime happens, the exception of the press having a special status that they don't have to do it. Now, there'll be somebody, raises eyebrows. However, I have to say there will be somebody who writes in now and says, Shattuck, you just said that the press should have to testify. I did not. I was just trying to explain why the American people have reservations about this.
But don't you think the James Risen case and the way they ferociously went after him, the Justice Department went after him, will already have an impact on other journalists, but other possible sources talking to journalists.
Sure.
And that's the thing. It's not so much the journalists are timid. It's that the sources that would talk to the James Risens for their investigative pieces are now scared that the journalist they're talking to will be called before a federal jury and required to testify. So it has a chilling effect. I mean, whether he testified or not, it had a very negative impact on the free flow of information. And that's why we need a national shield law. And we don't have one, but we need one.
I doubt you're going to get one.
Mm. Yeah.
And for all those reasons we just mentioned, right?
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get one because the last thing that the Justice Department or others, especially since we're now going into this, we got to get these characters no matter what phase.
How do you think a Hillary Clinton administration might deal with reporters and leaks of government by government officials to reporters? As aggressively as Obama, or less aggressive?
Well, I think maybe more.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Lenny.
She's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's very tough.
And she has the experience, 4 years' experience of being at the Secretary of State and dealing with high-level secret stuff. And she understands the need for the country to be able to maintain some degree of secrecy and how important that is to our doing what we need to do. And not that everybody always agrees with it, but I think she'll be tougher than Obama is.
Well, except not only is she maybe tougher than Obama, I think we could probably agree on that, but she is also as politically astute as anybody you'll ever meet. And she knows where not to step.
So are you saying she won't?
I'm saying one is balanced against the other.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, do I need this is the question that mm-hmm. politicians quite frequently ask. You know, the thing about presidents is that they are elected politically, but then they have to govern.
Right.
And if they govern doing what, quote, is right as opposed to what is political, that's a whole different
Well, that goes back to whoever made the point about politicians being driven by polls and not their own inner moral
core values.
I guess that was a letter writer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I believe in the end of that being if they even have core values.
Core values, yeah. Right.
While we're touching on presidential politics, we got off on our George Pataki rant, but we didn't talk a lot about Paul Ryan. And the story is, I guess the story here is saying I'm not going to run, but the question is why? And as the Washington Post points out in their coverage this morning, saying, well, it's not so much that he doesn't want it, it's just that he doesn't want it right now. He's mm-hmm. a young guy, he has his time, and he's
44. Kind
of, yeah.
Right.
Or he doesn't, it's not so much that he doesn't want it, it's that he figures, quite correctly, he can't get it.
Not this time.
Not this yeah. time.
Not yeah. the, and 2020, you know, let the Ryan 2024 speculation begin.
But well, let me tell you something about the Golden Ring. You don't get that many chances when mm-hmm. you're going around on the carousel to grab the Golden Ring.
Well, I guess this is why.
Well, Mitt's got three now.
Yeah, third time's a charm.
But I mean, it gives him an opportunity to be a good congressman and do some good things.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's if he can. I mean, you know, the thing is if he doesn't, out. If he doesn't,
he's modified his opinion about the poor in his latest book. He's not as harsh on the poor.
Well, see, but that's the thing. He yeah. really is the standard bearer for some of that horrible politic, and he'll have to really move to the center.
Yeah, they take a poll and they see yeah. this is why you're not doing that well, and he says, "Okay, I'll write a book and I'll change."
Yeah. So we'll
simple.
See.
Do you think that as you said, Alan, he doesn't think he can win. But you know, you look at somebody like a lot of people told Barack Obama that. You know, you're a one-term senator. A lot of people told Bill Clinton that. You're a governor
sure.
from Arkansas. What
sure.
the hell are you thinking? I don't know.
That's a good point.
You know, as you say, the brass ring.
Well, wasn't there a senator from Massachusetts back in 1960 who was
yeah.
rather young
right, yes.
and had very little chance? He was yes. also Catholic. And
but he had a
happened.
Pop who had a lot of money,
a lot of friends.
And he was handsome and he yeah. was, you know, debonair. And,
right. And he had a beautiful wife.
And he was...
Who could speak French.
What
yes.
was the Alan Drury book?
Advising Consent.
Advising Consent. I believe he was in there under one guy.
There was also a governor in Massachusetts who was doing okay until he put on a helmet and a tank.
Right, 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 right. That wasn't a really good PR moment for anyone.
It was a bad photo op.
Right, it really was.
From Michael Dukakis.
And he gets the blame. The real question is, who told him to?
Who yeah. said that was a good idea? Yeah. That's a very, yeah. very good point. All right, let's see. We have about a minute to go. Do you want to let
Can someone yeah, explain to me why oil prices are so low?
Well,
is there a glut? I know you're going to talk to somebody,
we're
right?
We're going to talk about it tomorrow,
okay.
yeah.
Yeah.
But I, you know, it's a really interesting point.
Yeah. And whether they're ever going to go back up, and what I wonder if ISIL and their black market has anything to do with this.
Well, it has a lot to do with the Saudis continuing to pump out that oil, even though there's a glut, and that keeps the price
And the
down.
Question is why right. the Saudis continue to yeah. do that. That's
to,
the real
to
question.
Curry favor with the United States.
Oh, I don't know. Well, it's having a negative impact in a lot of communities, and you know, especially oil boom towns in the U.S. But it mm-hmm. also is selling a lot of
yeah, but it makes
big
consumers
cars.
Happy.
Pickup trucks and yeah. SUVs are selling off the lot.
Right, which is so short-sighted because well, ultimately it'll go back up.
One of the smartest money guys in the country and in our region, Hugh Johnson, will be with us tomorrow.
Oh, that's great.
To discuss this in depth. And
we'll have a half an hour in depth.
Get an idea of what's going on. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. We thank you very much for your comments. Keep them coming. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also post on the panel, WAMC.org/roundtable. And we'll be back after this break.